Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the firing of FBI Director Comey in a desperate effort by Donald Trump to shut down the Russia investigation, which the craven Republicans are complicit in, as they slow walk the investigations and continue to distract and delay in the hope that they can get their agenda enacted before Trump is impeached. The author of The Great Questions of Tomorrow, David Rothkopf, the publisher of Foreign Policy Magazine and foreignpolicy.com, where he has an article, Is America a Failing State?, joins us to discuss a White House out of control, consumed by infighting, amateurism and intrigue, which is now being described as Game of Thrones for morons. We will look into the efforts by Stephen Bannon to undermine the only adult left advising Trump, General McMaster, and Trump's latest display of affection for autocracy, where he banned the U.S. free press from today's White House meeting with Russia's foreign minister, but allowed in the Putin-controlled Russian press. Then we will speak with Dr. Rachel Kleinfeld, a senior associate in the Democracy and Rule of Law program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, who focuses on governance in post-conflict countries and fragile and failing states. We'll assess how far the Trump administration is taking us on the path towards America becoming a banana republic as the telltale signs of a failing state abound, with an egomaniacal leader and his rapacious family greedily feathering their nest while undermining democratic institutions and attacking the free press. Then finally, with Trump's firing of the head of the FBI and the purging of government specialists and scientists, we'll examine how federal employees can continue to expose the truth as the Trump administration cracks down on internal dissent and weakens open government and ethical standards. David Halperin, a senior fellow at Republic Report who served on the National Security Council and was counsel to the Senate Intelligence Committee, joins us to discuss his article at the Huffington Post, After Comey, How to Be a Patriotic Insider. And joining us now is David Rothkopf, who's a CEO and editor of the FP Group, publisher of Foreign Policy Magazine, foreignpolicy.com, and presenter of FP Events. He's a visiting scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and is the author of Running the World, The Inside Story of the National Security Council and the Architects of American Power, and National Insecurity, American Leadership in an Age of Fear. His latest book is The Great Questions of Tomorrow, and he has an article at Foreign Policy, Is America a Failing State? Welcome to Background Briefing, David Rothkopf.
Good to be here again.
Well, thank you, David. And, you know, every day I feel like I'm dispensing the daily dose of doom to my listeners. But yesterday was particularly shocking. It was almost like we're at the edge of the abyss. How does it strike you in the overall scheme of this alternative universe that Trump has imposed on us?
Well, I don't know if we're at the edge of the abyss. Although I understand why you feel that way, and I sympathize. I think we're at a crossroads, though. Yesterday felt terrible because what the President of the United States tried to do or did was terrible. I mean, there was the head of the FBI, a man who has made missteps in the past, but nonetheless was the head of the FBI, was leading an investigation into the president. And the president decided that it was appropriate for him to fire him. Now, why did this make us upset? You know, there's some debate about Comey's merits and things that he's done in the past. Both parties have criticized him one way or another, although it was mostly the Democrats until the past 24 hours. But it's because it's not an isolated event. The Comey firing, first of all, is part of a pattern. He's fired three different people who were leading investigations into him, Sally Yates, Preet Bharara, and now James Comey, each for different reasons, but who had in common the fact that they were exploring wrongdoing by the president and those closest to him. And so when we see this pattern, and then we think of it in the context of a president who has also attacked the judiciary when it went against him, sent out rumors that he's considering disbanding the Ninth Circuit because it has ruled against him, tried to attack and intimidate judges for a variety of reasons, ranging from racism to political self-interest, tried to intimidate witnesses like Sally Yates when She was about to testify before Congress with tweets, attacked the free press, didn't even let the U.S. press in to see his incredibly badly timed meeting with the Russian foreign minister today. But let the Russian press in because they're not free and they'll treat it right, et cetera, et cetera. What do you see? You see the pattern of behavior of an autocrat who believes he is above the law, who believes he can use the system to advance his own personal interests, and that is sickening, and it is the kind of behavior you see in a banana republic. And the question becomes, do our checks and balances work and finally bring this man to bear? Or does this continue and does his intimidation and the spinelessness of the Republican leadership on the Hill institutionalize this idea that a man or a group of people can be above the law and behave in a way that's contrary to the national interest and get away with it?
But in the broader context, it would seem that everything that he has done and his administration have done have been destructive and not constructive. He's created nothing. He's destroyed as much as he can get his hands on, and he's continued to do that. Can you see anything that he's done that could be remotely seen as an improvement or anything constructive or anything that advances American interests or the well-being of our people?
I have to say, if you went to the White House and said, find us somebody who can be an advocate for making our case, they probably wouldn't recommend me. But, you know, I think if we look at Trump's behavior, there are multiple layers that are disturbing. He has behaved, as I just described, in violation of the law and in a threat to constitutional principles. He is ethically completely unbound, as are his family, who are profiting off of his time in the presidency in a way that is literally unconstitutional through the Emoluments Clause, and was unthinkable to the founders that anybody would behave in this way, and that is compromising our national interests in country after country. And I, by the way, keep an eye on the visit of the president of Turkey, Erdogan, who is really angry that Trump is about to go and use the Kurds to go and help flush ISIS out of Raqqa because he's arming the Kurds. And there is a Trump deal with all sorts of weird stuff around it in Turkey. And we've already seen Erdogan try to use that to get leverage over Trump. So this is this cuts both ways, his international ties. He enriches himself, but people also think they can use his interests to undermine the United States. He has surrounded himself by a bunch of bad people, whether it's, you know, Steve Bannon or Sebastian Gorka or Steve Miller, none of whom, you know, should be hired to be the assistant to a dog catcher, much less in the position that he's got. He's got his daughter as an assistant to the president, who ranks as the same rank as the national security advisor, even though she has no government experience and, in fact, is as light a lightweight as we have ever seen in a senior office. Same thing for his son-in-law. And the other thing that they've done is that they've proven that they are just terrible at running a government. I mean, this Comey thing was a mess in terms of a rollout. They don't consult with people. They have lousy relations within their own party. They haven't gotten anything done, as you say. They haven't filled the critical positions in the U.S. government. They've alienated our allies. I think if you looked, you'd find a few people out there who are happy about their presence. Autocrats, people who have gotten beaten up in the past for human rights violations, they like Trump. Some of our allies in the Middle East who felt Obama had turned his back on them find that Trump is willing to give them carte blanche. They like it. The Israelis like it better because they didn't have a particularly good relationship with Obama. And Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, today said that he enjoyed interacting with Trump because he's not burdened by the ideology of the Obama years. In other words, the Russians, who hacked our election, who sought to put their thumb on the scale of American democracy, who've done the same thing in France, are doing the same thing in Germany, are trying to undermine the Atlantic Alliance, that's sort of the pillar of global security, are actually among the few people in the world who are going, yeah, I like this Trump regime. I like these Trump characters. They're doing what we want. So maybe, rather than asking me what's so good about Trump, you should call a Russian, because they love it.
And again, I'm speaking with David Rothkopf, the CEO and editor of the FP Group, publisher of Foreign Policy magazine. There's also another article at Foreign Policy by Kate Brennan, The Knives Are Out for Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster. And it ties in with what you were just saying, David Rothkopf. We really need some adult supervision, at least one adult in that building. And McMaster appears to be about the only one. And the knives are out for him. And the people that you mentioned, people like Bannon and Gorka, I mean, they haven't managed to get rid of Gorka, who's by, I think, any reasonable definition, a Hungarian fascist, from, you know, belongs to one of those atavistic groups that go back to the 1930s. And Katie McFarland, they tried to move her off. She hasn't moved. And he's trying to get things done there. And apparently every time he tries to do something, Trump screams at him, particularly, for example, when he apparently tried to reassure the South Koreans that they wouldn't have to pay for the THAAD missile, and Trump was furious with him. And my understanding is that the reason that he fired ordered the firing of Comey was he was watching television and just had a complete tantrum and screamed at everybody. And that seems to, every time I see Spicer, it always feels like he's sort of limping out of the Oval Office having been berated. Is there an analogy here with tyrannical leaders in terms of, I guess we've had people occasionally blown up in the White House, but this seems to be a particularly autocratic and even despotic personality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in uncharted territory for the United States. This guy is paranoid, he's tyrannical, he's nasty, he's ignorant, he doesn't know how the government works, he's used to getting his own way, he's awful, he's a James Bond villain, you know, or a cartoon, you know, comic book villain. And he surrounded himself with whoever was willing to go along, and a bunch of those people really bad. Steve Bannon, white supremacist, you know, wants to sort of blow up the U.S. government. Sebastian Gorka, sort of quasi-neo-Nazi white supremacist tied to Hungarian fascist groups. Steve Miller, who writes these executive orders on immigration, who, you know, wouldn't be hired as an assistant to an assistant anyplace else. And, you know, a bunch of lightweights like K.T. McFarland, who Michael Flynn had made his deputy, and even, you know, can think what happened with Flynn, right? Flynn is either going to be convicted of a crime and go to jail, or he's going to do a plea deal. But did he break the law? Of course, yeah, he broke the law. He lied about his ties. He didn't disclose things, et cetera, et cetera. And his deputy is still there. Now, H.R. McMaster has appointed a new deputy who's another general, and you have to ask yourself, why do we have so many generals? And one of the answers is they sort of have to do it. But every time you think, gee, maybe McMaster is getting a little traction, something happens that says, well, maybe he's not, because Bannon is still there, Gorka is still there, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the president is still doing crazy-ass stuff that where he's, like, saying things to foreign leaders and not reading talking points and blowing things up, which shows that McMaster and the national security process is not working. And the other, you know, somebody once referred to these as the sort of axis of adults. The other axis of adults, characters, are not stepping up. Tillerson is missing in action. He doesn't speak to the press. He isn't really the primary interlocutor with foreign leaders. Mattis, who everybody has a lot of respect for, keeps a fairly low profile, is dealing narrowly with military issues, doesn't seem to be able to control the president's behavior. You got to wonder how a guy like Mattis, you know, reacts to the Comey firing, you know, and he's like, what, must be saying to himself, what have I gotten myself into? And so on. So, you know, the notion that there are adults around Trump is not super persuasive. And to the extent that there are a couple, they don't seem to be having much of an impact on Trump, who is the loosest loose cannon who has ever held the highest office in the United States of America.
But how far can he go with his bullying? He's already got the Republicans in a craven situation where he's obviously allowed them to enact their agenda, and they're making excuses for him and even making excuses for Putin, which is certainly not uncommon for conservative Republicans, particularly during the Cold War. So obviously they're not speaking up. There's always, you know, you go back to the Saturday Night Massacre. They fired the Attorney General, then the Deputy Attorney General, and then Robert Bork stepped up and took the job. So there's always a Robert Bork out there. How much can they get away with in terms of this? Apparently, the real agenda here, I think, is pretty clear. Trump wants to shut down this Russian investigation, and he's going to try and intimidate and bully, and he's already got some of his surrogates slow walking in the Senate intel. The House intel was blown up. He's got a political guy at CIA and at DNA. And, of course, he's got Sessions at the DOJ. So do you think that's the real agenda here, to shut down the Russian inquiry?
Yeah. I mean, in both the New York Times and Politico have reported today stories that have said that, you know, the reason that Comey got fired was the Russia thing. And by the way, read Trump's letter firing Comey. It doesn't mention Hillary Clinton, doesn't mention the sort of thin pretext that, you know, or sort of laid out in the Rod Rosenstein letter, the Deputy Attorney General's letter. No, the president says, you know, you've told me three times I'm not the target of an investigation. Nevertheless, you know, I'm going to let you go. First of all, you know, how bizarre to mention that, you know, this, and, you know, obviously he's trying to say to the world, see, Comey said I wasn't a target, which is obviously front of mind for him. And then he goes, and nevertheless, I'm going to fire you, which seems to imply that had he been a target, then that would have been a reasonable thing to do, to go after him. You know, my sense is that Trump is feeling the heat, and he's firing people he thinks can hurt him. He's yelling at his staff. The White House is awash in leaks because people are running scared. Every report that I'm getting out of the White House is of an absolute, complete pigsty of an office. People don't trust each other. They yell at each other. We had an article in Foreign Policy yesterday which referred to the whole thing as Game of Thrones for morons. And, you know, that sort of stuck in my mind. That's the way this administration is working. It's Game of Thrones for morons. Infighting, stupidity, incompetence, ethical violations, and the victims are the people they're all supposed to be serving.
And just in the last minute or so then, David Rothkopf, what about the notion is that there's always a Bork? In other words, could they find a flunky to replace Comey? Could they get away with this?
I think they could find a flunky to replace Comey. I don't know if that guy would get approved, because I think there are a number of Republicans who've come out of the woodwork who've suggested that they're uncomfortable with this. And, you know, I have a lot of faith in the civil service in the United States, the professionals, whether they're in the intelligence community, the FBI, or elsewhere. And I think those people, DOJ, those people will continue to pursue this. And if the government shuts it down, if the Republicans shut it down, and you didn't mention Mitch McConnell, who, of course, the Senate Majority Leader, whose wife is in Trump's cabinet, right? So he's not really going to do anything. And Paul Ryan is, I think, the largest living species of invertebrate in the United States. I mean, you know, he has, you know, he presented himself once upon a time as a principled person and has demonstrated repeatedly in the Trump era that he has absolutely no principles whatsoever. So, I think there's a possibility that the Republicans will try to stop this. But I promise you this, you know, if that happens, Trump will be washed out of Washington in a torrent of leaks, because the professionals whose job it is throughout their lives to protect the United States are great people, dedicated people, and they will not take very kindly to that.
But just in closing, in a practical sense, he won't be impeached by the Republicans. Obviously, their behavior indicates that they're quite craven. So does it come down to a midterm election in which the Democrats take back the House and therefore can enact articles of impeachment?
It's not out of the question that a central issue in the next election will be impeachment and or investigations and the need to change the leadership in the House in order to make real investigations possible. But I think, you know, Trump needs to keep something else in mind. And that is, sooner or later, there will be Democrats in charge of something, and they will get to the bottom of this, and his taxes will come out, and his business ties will come out, and those of Ivanka and Jared Kushner and the sons will come out, and the degree to which, you know, Paul Manafort and Carter Page and Roger Stone and Mike Flynn coordinated with, spoke to, dealt with, took advantage of, encouraged the Russians will come out, as will compromising information regarding Trump deals in Turkey, Central Asia, the Philippines, China, and elsewhere. I mean, think about this before you go. 2 days ago, there was a big story in the paper that Jared Kushner's sister was in China using her brother's name and the president's name to get investment for their company, promising access and selling visas. If that had been Barack Obama in a Republican administration, he'd be in handcuffs right now. And that story has been overwhelmed by all this other insanity.
Well, David Rothkopf, thank you for joining us and staying in touch with the insanity. And let's hope it ends soon. I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks.
And again, I've been speaking with David Rothkopf, who's the CEO and editor of the FP Group, publisher of Foreign Policy Magazine, foreignpolicy.com, and a presenter of FP Events. He's a visiting scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and is the author of Running the World, The Inside Story of the National Security Council and the Architects of American Power and National Insecurity, American Leadership in an Age of Fear. His latest book is The Great Questions of Tomorrow, and he has an article, Foreign Policy, Is America a Failing State? We're going to take a brief station break and back, assessing how far the Trump administration is taking us on the path towards America becoming a banana republic.